This is the Best of North Sound 1 podcast.
Hey guys, can't believe it's been a week already. It's the Best of North Sound 1 podcast. This is Grant Thompson here, and thanks for checking us out online at northsound1.com/listen again. Loads to come this week on the podcast. We're talking about, remember the days of Jim will fix it? That's coming up. We're talking about very hot curries and how they can actually be bad for your health. I'm sure you can imagine. Also talking about Jordan splitting up with her boyfriend with the use of an interpreter. It's all to come on the Best of North Sound 1 podcast. Also, you'll find out what happened when I caught up last week with Professor Green. Quite cool, because I got to hang with Professor Green and got to chill out and call him Pro Green, like I was one of the kids. That's coming up on the Best of North Sound 1 podcast. But first, I'm just back from holiday. I was in Spain, well, Gran Canaria, so Spain technically. And sometimes when you're on holiday, stuff gets lost in translation. Now, Craig was flying solo, looking after things on the big drive home with no Andy. Andy was on holiday, and Craig's maybe feeling a little bit left out and is looking at his hotel online. And here's what happened when some stuff gets lost in translation.
Andy on holidays this week, and it's only a matter of time before Andy will send me a text message of the sun, or a beer, or a barbecue, or a swimming pool. Because he does these things to make me jealous, you see. So that's made me think about my holiday, because I'm going at the end of November. So I thought I'd check out the webpage for the hotel I'm going to, because obviously you book through the travel agent and all that, and they give you a wee spin on things. So I checked out the actual hotel website, and it was in Spanish, because obviously, well, I'll be going to Spain, so that's fine. So I clicked translate and put it into English. And this is where I'm going. Amongst the services is a conditioned swimming pool for adults and children. That's all very well. A pool bar, private parking, a children area, and buffet service. I don't think the translation is going so well as we go through this. The hotel also has a showroom and squash. We also admit Visa MasterCard. So the translation's getting a bit shakier as we go, so I continue. Here you will find an interesting variety of places to visit, like the shopping centre of Puerto Rico, diving schools, and supplies of night leisure. I can't wait to go on holiday for the supplies of night leisure. I'm not sure where I'm going now, it's not Amsterdam. You can also make a relaxed stroll from Puerto Rico to Loving throughout the marine stroll. It's getting worse. So there we go, that's where I'm going holidays. It gave me a titter anyway, but I'm going to be devastated if I'm going to go on a nighttime stroll that puts me through the sea.
I think we've all had that, and the classic one is where you get a menu and you end up eating something you don't want to eat because you don't know what it is. There's Craig on Andy and Craig's big drive home, getting lost in translation. This is the Best of North Sound 1 podcast. You can listen again online at northsound1.com/listen again. Still to come, you can hear what happened when I caught up with Professor Green during the week. Pro Green, as I get to call him, that's coming up. But first of all, have you ever had a really, really hot curry? Here's what happened when Greg's Eat Breakfast was talking about the world's, or what's trying to be, the world's hottest curry.
This is an appropriate piece of music here. Did you hear this story from yesterday, right? This is, I think, near Edinburgh, didn't it, yes?
It was Edinburgh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the story of a restaurant, and what they do is they have this annual spicy competition where, basically, you've got to eat the hottest curry that they can possibly brew up, and they really go to town in this thing. They throw all sorts of things in there.
Yeah, nuclear strength curry.
Yaz was telling me that one of the people, they were saying how they were sweating in places behind their ear. They didn't even know they had sweat glands.
The curry on the menu, it comes with like sort of jokey warnings, and one of them is when you do eat it, you find sweat glands where you have never had them, like at the back of your ears.
I'm a disaster when it comes to spicy food. A total disaster. I can't do it. I'm like that. I sweat out of my earlobes from behind my eyes. It comes out of everywhere. And that's a korma. What they had to do is they've had to actually phone the emergency services. They had St. John's on standby for the latest one, but they actually had to phone for an ambulance. And I just think this is mental. Can you imagine being the operator? How do you deal with that? Have they got special training in order to deal with that? Now, because we work in the media and we are a radio station, we get access to all these 999 calls. It's great. We can actually get you the call here. This is not a reenactment. No actors involved in this at all. Not this is a real, genuine 999 call made to the Edinburgh ambulance service from that restaurant.
Hello, emergency 999. Which service, please?
I need an ambulance. An ambulance. Quick.
What's the problem, sir?
Somebody in the restaurant, they're not coping at all. Help.
Are they breathing?
Yes, let me just check. Yes, they are breathing fire at the moment. Oh no, thank you. I can hear the ambulance. It's arriving now.
I don't think so. I haven't even sent it yet.
Oh, that is so hot.
You know, I think I'd need emergency help as well if I had one of those cars. Hot from Gregsy at breakfast. This is the best of NorthSound 1 podcast online at northsound1.com/listen-again. Does anybody remember Jim Will Fix It?
I mentioned Jim Will Fix It, or Jimmy Savile, yeah. Because, well, he's I've got to say, he's not been feeling too great. He was admitted to hospital, had pneumonia, and he's out now. So this guy, seriously, he just bounces back. He still runs the London Marathon. Mm-hmm. Nalan. He's not got a very fast time. He's weighed down with all that flipping jewellery, though, is he? Rattle, Nalan.
And all the cigars he's been smoking over the years.
Don't inhale. Do you remember on the telly, though, you had that magic chair with the things that came out the side, and he pull out his Jim Will Fix It badge on one side, he pull out a cigar on the other. He'd be smoking cigars in front of kids. Nalan. Come here, come see Uncle Jim Will Fix It. Nalan. Anyway, for those of you who are worried about Jim, he's fine, he's okay, he's fighting fit again after another trip to the hospital. But blimey, time for a letter.
Dear Jim, please could you fix it for me? To meet you. I've been a big fan of yours for some time, and I've been very interested in meeting you. Yours sincerely, Mr. G. Reaper from Hell, Innsbruck.
Right, that was meant to be my impression of the Grim Reaper. Sounded more like Santa Claus had just written him a letter. Santa Claus doesn't
bad
write letters.
Santa.
Bad Santa.
Another the best bit from Gregsy at Breakfast on the Best of NorthSound 1 podcast, and you can listen again at northsound1.com/listen-again. Also online, the NorthSound 2 Talking and all our interviews, including the full interview with Professor Green. But here's a little snippet of what happened last week when I caught up with Pro Green himself. Or was it Stephen? Let's find out. And Pro Green, I'm down with the kids calling you Pro Green, is on the show this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Grant, how you doing?
Do you know, I'm all right, actually. My first question is going to be, do I call you Pro Green, Professor Green, or Stephen's your name, isn't it?
You can, yeah, Stephen's my real name. You can call me Stephen.
It is a Sunday. I suppose we could probably get away with calling
it. It is, and I don't know, yeah, it's weird. Like, even my mates who I've known since I was knee high call me, like, Pro or P, and it's like, it took me ages to get my head round. My nan still calls me Stephen.
Yeah.
I know I'm in trouble, actually, if she uses my name.
Does she ever call you Pro Green?
No,
not at all.
No, never would she call me that.
I was doing a little bit of research on you before the show, and I found this. I wonder if this is true or not. You fell into rapping by accident.
Yeah, completely.
How was that? How did that come about?
I was at Alex's house. Alex's cause, who's now the executive producer of my first and second album. He's produced some of the tracks on both as well. I was at his house, and all my friends have been making music for years. We were 18 at the time, and they were all freestyling, which is, you know, rapping spontaneously, just making it up on the spot and messing around. And I got put on the spot, and I rapped a lyric very reluctantly and went all red in the face, like, don't make me do that again. And everyone was like, whoa, you can rap. And I was like, nah, be serious. But I started messing around with it from there, and that was how it came about.
Is it hard to think of material sometimes, like when you're rapping on the spot?
It can be. It depends. It depends on the vibe, really. If you're in a good place, like if you're in a club playing good music, and, you know, that's the kind of environment for it, really.
It's like a kind of party piece that, you know, will people just, like, on demand ask you to do some rap?
No, I don't. I kind of veer away from that. I always say no to it now because for ages, because people know you can freestyle, it's always, go on and say something. It's like, well, I don't really feel like it. It's not really the most ideal situation. You know, I'm not a monkey. You can't throw 50p in a jar and have me.
And just perform.
Perform a trick.
Now, I've been Facebook stalking you as well. I've just become a fan. I'm one of 1.5 million. I noticed that. I was like, this guy has got seriously loads of Facebook fans compared to my 300.
Facebook is mental. I couldn't, because I remember back when I was on like 5,000, and then all of a sudden it flew.
Do you get a lot of response out there if you put stuff out to your fans? Do you find Facebook helps?
Yeah, I get loads of likes and stuff. I don't really read the comments. Like, I think quite a lot of people on Facebook have a bit too much time on their hands, so
they
get a bit bored. And it's always the people that will say stuff online, the little keyboard warriors that will then shake your hand and ask for a picture when they see you. So yeah, I don't really bother reading too much of that stuff.
Yeah, keyboard hard men. The last single was out in October last year. Obviously, you're working on the new album. What else have you been doing in that time?
So much touring, you know, loads of promo and just loads and loads and loads of live shows. But it's cool for me, like, I started making music as a hobby, so the creative side of it I'll always love, you know. If I have a day off, I'll go to the studio, and then the performing side of it is my other favourite part of it. It just, you know, it's the instant response.
So I'm talking about big events and stuff. You don't get much bigger than Wednesday night during the week. You were at the Mobo Awards.
I was.
Fantastic. With Emily Sandé performing the new single. Yeah. Now, you, in 2010, walked away with the Mobo for the Best Hip Hop and Grime Act. Yeah. How were the awards this year?
Brilliant. And performing with Emily is always, always, always a pleasure. You know, I done At Your Inconvenience, she done Heaven, and then we both done Read All About It with some lovely silver confetti towards the end of it, which... fortunately, I didn't end up choking on like I did in rehearsals.
Oh, wow. You know, I was just going to ask. How's Emily to work with?
She's incredible. I worked with her on the first record on one song, Kids That Love to Dance, and we've worked on 3 or 4 on this record, and I hope we work together a lot more in the future.
Now, the new single, Read All About It, has got Emily on it. How did that come about?
I had the song. You know, I was lucky enough for the record label to kind of let me do what I want with it. I got a 24-piece string section on it, which we recorded at Abbey Road. And the only person I could really hear singing the chorus that would really capture the emotion in the track was Emily. So I'm very fortunate that she said yes to doing it. She loved the song, and the rest is history.
Yeah, her voice is... She's got such a nice voice, and I see what you mean about kind of working with the song.
She's incredible. She really is. You know, there's not many people who can sing like she can, as well as write like she can. She's the whole package.
We'll come back to talk about the new single in a second. I want to talk more big acts you worked with, though. On the first album, there was obviously Lily Allen, who had a single with. Emily Sandé, Labyrinth as well. Is there any plans for any more big stars on the new album?
The album's actually wrapped, I've done some. I've done a couple of American collaborations this time. Not too many. I didn't really want to change things up too much. I'm still working with, you know, all the same people I was on the first record. I just wanted to branch out a little bit. I've got Royce da 5'9" on there, a beat produced by DJ Khalil, who's worked with Jay-Z and everyone. Sierra Kusterbeck from Versa Emerge, who was signed to Fueled by Ramen, the home of the Gym Class Heroes and Paramore. I've got Ed Drewitt on there, my old mate Ed Drewitt's back on there.
Now, that's the album which is out at the end of this month, actually. It's out on the 28th of October. The first single, I've heard loads of stuff going about. This is just a sampler of the album. This is just like a promo for the album.
Your Inconvenience, but Read All About It is the first proper single of it.
The first proper single, which we're going to play in a second. I saw the video, it's a little bit hard hitting towards the end. Is that what the song's all about?
Yeah, the song, we might as well go into it. My father committed suicide, and I hadn't seen him for 6 years. He was always the parent that I looked up to, but he was in and out of my life. He wasn't a brilliant father. Never a bad person, you know, had his own problems. I suppose one of the hardest things growing up is realising that your parents aren't, you know, they are actually human, you know, and have their own thoughts. But song was kind of spurred on by the wife that he left behind come out of the woodwork and said that I was trying to cash in on his death, because I'd mentioned in an interview that at that point I had to let go of all the resentment I had towards him, and it helped me make better my life. Uh-huh. I had no relationship with her. She was never anyone to me, you know, so I kind of touch on that in a song, and also just a few of the things that I'll never get to say to him.
Catch up on what you've missed and listen live at northsound1.com.